Let's read together 2 Chronicles chapter 21. In this chapter, we have the record of the reign of King Jehoram of Judah. He was not a good king, and he led the people of Judah further away from the Lord. And Jehoshaphat rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. Then Jehoram, his son, reigned in his place. He had brothers. Their father gave them great gifts of silver and gold and precious things, with fortified cities in Judah. But he gave the kingdom to Jehoram, because he was the firstborn. Now when Jehoram was established over the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and killed all his brothers with a sword, and also others of the princes of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done, for he had the daughter of Ahab as a wife. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he had made with David, and since he had promised to give a lamp to him and to his sons forever. In his days, Edom revolted against Judah's authority and made a king over themselves. So Jehoram went out with his officers and all his chariots with him, and he arose by night and attacked the Edomites who had surrounded him and the captains of the chariots. Thus Edom has been in revolt against Judah's authority to this day. At that time, Libnah revolted against his rule because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. Moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit harlotry and led Judah astray. And a letter came to him from Elijah the prophet saying, "Thus says the Lord God of your father David, because you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat your father or in the ways of Asa king of Judah, but have walked in the way of the kings of Israel and have made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to play the harlot like the harlotry of the house of Ahab, and also have killed your brothers, those of your father's household, who were better than yourself. Behold, the Lord will strike your people with a serious affliction, your children, your wives, and all your possessions. And you will become very sick with a disease of your intestines until your intestines come out by reason of the sickness day by day. Moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and the Arabians who were near the Ethiopians. And they came up into Judah and invaded it and carried away all the possessions that were found in the king's house and also his sons and his wives, so that there was not a son left to him except Jehoahaz, that is, Ahaziah, the youngest of his sons. After all this, the Lord struck him in his intestines with an incurable disease. Then it happened in the course of time, after the end of 2 years, that his intestines came out because of his sickness. So he died in severe pain, and his people made no burning for him like the burning of his fathers. He was 32 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and to no one's sorrow departed. However, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings." Let's begin our study of 2 Chronicles chapter 21 with some background notes. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we read of the wonderful victory that God gave good King Jehoshaphat over the coalition of enemy forces from the east side of the Jordan River and the Dead Sea. Jehoshaphat and the kingdom of Judah did not even have to fight the battle. The Lord fought the battle for them. Now, that great victory certainly has prophetic implications for the godly remnant of the end times. During the future tribulation period, the godly remnant of Jews, like Judah here in 2 Chronicles, will face overwhelming opposition and will call out to the Lord as good King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah did here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. "Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." And as God completely defeated the enemy and delivered his people in Jehoshaphat's day, so the Lord will completely defeat the enemy of the last days and deliver his people, and they will live at peace in the Lord's earthly millennial kingdom. Verse 30 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20 seems to picture this coming peaceful reign of Christ. Let's read that verse. "Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around." Now here in chapters 21 and 22 of 2 Chronicles, we have the record of the next two kings of Judah, Jehoram and Ahaziah. Unfortunately, They were not good kings. So in 2 Chronicles chapters 14 through 20, we have the records of two good kings of Judah, namely Asa and Jehoshaphat. And now here in chapters 21 and 22, we have the records of two bad kings of Judah, namely Jehoram and Ahaziah. Now the accounts of these evil kings, both here in 2 Chronicles and in 2 Kings, can get a little confusing because there is a Jehoram and Ahaziah in the northern kingdom of Israel, as well as a Jehoram and Ahaziah here in the southern kingdom of Judah. They are all bad kings. They overlap in their reigns, but they are in reverse order in the north and south. Following Ahab in the northern kingdom of Israel, first came King Ahaziah and then King Jehoram. Following King Jehoshaphat in the southern kingdom of Judah, first comes King Jehoram and then comes King Ahaziah. So you can see that it can get a little confusing. Let's move now to our doctrinal points for this chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 21. Doctrinal point number one, bad decisions result in bad fallout. Bad decisions result in bad fallout. You know, King Jehoram has been called the most unlovely king of Judah. We see from verse 2 here that Jehoram had six brothers and he killed all of them when he became king in order to secure the throne. And he killed some other high-ranking officials as well. Verse 4. Now when Jehoram was established over the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and killed all his brothers with the sword, and also others of the princes of Israel. Jehoram was not only a wicked king, but he was an unpopular king as well. We see at the end of the chapter that he died with no one's regret. No honorary fire was made for him, and he was not buried in the royal tombs. Verses 19 and 20. And his people made no burning for him like the burning for his fathers. That is not cremation, by the way. It's an honorary fire. So his people made no burning for him like the burning for his fathers. He was 32 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 8 years and to no one's sorrow departed. However, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. So he was not only a wicked king, he was a very unpopular king as well. How was it possible that such a bad king could descend from the godly line of Asa, his grandfather, and Jehoshaphat, his father? The key is in verse 6. King Jehoram was married to Athaliah, the daughter of wicked King Ahab and Queen Jezebel from the northern kingdom of Israel. And like mother, like daughter. As Jezebel influenced Ahab to turn the northern kingdom of Israel away from the Lord, so Athaliah influenced Jehoram to turn the kingdom of Judah away from the Lord. All of this, of course, goes back to a bad decision that good King Jehoshaphat made years before. For political purposes, Jehoshaphat promoted this marriage between his son Jehoram and Athaliah. I'm reading 2 Chronicles chapter 18 and verse 1. Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and by marriage he allied himself with Ahab. 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 1. This was a bad decision. And we see the long-lasting consequences in this chapter. We see in verse 11 that Jehoshaphat not only allowed the high places to be built again, but he built more high places in the mountains of Judah and promoted religious fornication, which was part of the idolatrous worship. Look at verse 11 once again. Moreover, Jehoram made high places in the mountains of Judah and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit harlotry, and led Judah astray. Furthermore, we see that the nation of Judah had no rest or peace during the reign of wicked King Jehoram. In fact, verse 7 indicates that if it wasn't for the covenant that God made with David, the Lord would have let the dynasty of David end with Jehoram. We see in verse 10 that the nation of Edom was a constant problem, and even Libnah, a significant city in Judah itself, revolted. In verses 16 and 17, we see that God allowed the Philistines and the Arabians to invade the land. The whole nation of Judah had no rest because of the bad decisions of their king, beginning with a bad marriage decision, which was a bad decision on the part of good King Jehoshaphat. Well, the lesson is obvious and is certainly just as true today as it was in the days of the kingdom of Judah. Bad decisions result in bad fallout. Doctrinal point number two, bad decisions result in God's judgment. Bad decisions result in God's judgment. We see in this chapter that bad decisions not only resulted in bad fallout, which may be long-lasting, but bad decisions also result in God's judgment. Notice that the judgment upon Jehoram is not without warning. Elijah, the great prophet from the northern kingdom of Israel, sent a letter to Jehoram denouncing his wicked ways. Verses 12 through 15. Now, Elijah may have been translated to heaven by the time this letter reached Jehoram. In any case, the warning went unheeded by Jehoram, and God allowed Jehoram to reap what he had sown. We see in verses 16 and 17 that the Philistines not only invaded the land, but they took away all of King Jehoram's possessions, including his wives and children. And only one son was left. Furthermore, Jehoram was diagnosed with an incurable disease of the intestines, and he died in great pain. Verses 18 and 19. All of this was part of God's judgment on Jehoram for his wickedness. Bad decisions result in God's judgment. The same is true today, and this applies to Christians as well as unbelievers. Many Christians, for example, have lost their families to the ensnarements of the enemy because of materialistic desires and the desire for more of the things of this world. God allows his people to reap what they have sown, Galatians 6:7. 1 Peter 4:17 says, "Judgment must begin with the house of God." Bad decisions result in God's judgment. Now, what about practical application? From 2 Chronicles chapter 21. Don't die like Jehoram. Don't die like Jehoram. Jehoram not only died in great pain under the judgment of God, but he also died with no one's regret. Verse 20. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and to no one's sorrow departed. How would you like that as an epitaph on your gravestone? Here lies one who died under the judgment of God and with no one's regret. Well, it does not have to be. We can't always control the pain of death, but no one has to die under the judgment of God without anyone's regret. How much better to die like Abel died, even though Abel was murdered? Hebrews 11, verse 4 says of Abel, that he being dead yet speaks, Hebrews 11:4, because Abel walked by faith and pleased the Lord, his good testimony lives on. What a difference when compared with Jehoram. Don't die like Jehoram.